Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Yes, this is Basic Gospel, and thank you for tuning in today. We're talking about contentment on this broadcast. What does it mean to be content? Are you content in life? And this is significant in terms of the overall topic for the month, grace and money, because a lot of times we pursue money in hopes to find contentment, because we think the things that we can buy with money, whether they're material things, a new car, new house, new clothes, new golf clubs, any of those sort of things, or it could be power, prestige, relationships, those sort of things that we can buy with money that can set us above the rest as far as the world is concerned. We think those things can bring us contentment in life, but we find out that they really can't. So we're asking the question, what is contentment? Are you content in life? And what does contentment look like? Paul addressed that in his letter to 1 Timothy. We talked about that on Friday's broadcast, but it says this, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. Boy, that is really a powerful indictment there against those who are false teachers, to actually say that they're conceited and they understand nothing. And he goes on, he has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth. So that's powerful to realize that these folks have been robbed of the truth, and yet they put forth this idea that godliness is a means to financial gain. It says they've been robbed of the truth, and they think that godliness is a means to financial gain. And what do they hope to get through financial gain? Contentment. But what they're going to discover is that that's an empty way of life. There's no contentment there. There's no joy there. There's no happiness there. And then Paul goes on to say this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So how do we become content in life? What's that process? And what does it look like when we finally get there? Let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. So what is contentment? I think one of the pictures of contentment is this picture of rest that we talked about last month in the New Covenant. Uh-huh. We're resting in everything that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. We're not feverishly working to gain his love and acceptance. We're resting in what we have in him. That's a picture of contentment. I think another picture of contentment is an attitude of peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That just goes hand in glove with this idea of rest. We're at peace with God. We're no longer fighting against God. We're no longer rebelling against God. We found what we're looking for in him. And that is significant, to learn to be at rest, to learn to experience peace. Those are the things that really characterize contentment. And that's something that's really lacking in this world today is contentment.
Yeah, it is. And I'm the last person to talk about contentment. I should take the Fifth Amendment on this issue. But when I find myself in whatever the circumstance is, and it's usually in a material sense, I see something and I want it, and I don't have the cash right now. And all of a sudden, all these feelings of, well, why not? Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me that I can't get this right now? I've got a credit card. Why shouldn't I use it? And we start this process. And if you stay there for longer than about 10 seconds, you discover that the peace goes away and the rest goes away. Because you're just rejecting everything that the Spirit has brought to your mind recently. And the Spirit patiently says, well, Richard, how is this working for you? You know, are you getting what you want? And if you're not getting what you want, are you being a pain to everybody around you? And why don't you just come to me and rest? And you have that choice to make every time. Am I going to go with my flesh, or am I going to go with the Spirit?
Absolutely. Well, contentment, that's the topic on today's program. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you right now. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Pam in Sacramento, California. Hi, Pam.
Oh, we just lost Pam.
We did just lose Pam,
please,
indeed.
Please call us back.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, again, the number 1-800-677-9377. Let's go on and read some of the other verses in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. That's a bold statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's just the nature of money. It's neutral just in and of itself. It's neither good nor bad. It's just an exchange, a currency of exchange, so that we can live life. But there's this power in this world called sin, and it directs our eyes towards things, and it produces in us a love for those things that is counter to what God has in mind for us. And so we see that when we love money, that becomes a root of all kinds of evil in our lives. That makes us vulnerable to temptations. That makes us open to the ways of this world. And that's why we have to find our contentment in Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to go to New York and talk with Paul, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Paul.
Hi, sir. How are you today?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
Excellent. Thank you. Luke 22:36-38. I'd like to know why Jesus was advised disciples to buy the swords. What was the significance of those swords?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Simon has just said that he's not going to betray the Lord. He's going to stand up and he's going to protect Jesus. And Jesus said, before the night ends and the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And that's exactly what happened. And he said to Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And then he goes on and says, remember how I sent you out before, and I told you not to take anything with you. You don't take a bag with you. You don't take money with you. You don't take any weapons to protect you. You just go out. I'm going to teach you what it means to walk by faith in me. Well, now he's preparing the disciples for what's up ahead. And so he's saying, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, as he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. So up ahead is going to be trouble for the disciples, and certainly anybody who names the name of Christ. And so I think he's just preparing them for that. we take up and we look at this and we get really literal and, you know, you've got to go sell that cloak and buy the sword and you need to have one. And so we try to make application to us here and now. I think it's just saying prepare your hearts and minds for what's up ahead.
Yeah, and when you see what the disciples, their response to that in verse 38 was, oh, look, Lord, here are two swords. You know, as if that was really the point. And he said, that's enough. You know, he's just laughing at them because they did miss the point. The point is about being ready, and they weren't ready.
Paul, does that help? Well, let's go to Kenneth in New Jersey. Hi, Kenneth.
We're back to Paul.
Let's go to Nina in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Hi, Nina.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fine. Very fine. Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about rest and the importance of rest, resting in Christ, and recognizing the seventh day as being important to rest, just as our Heavenly Father rested after creation. God gave me that lesson many years ago, but sometimes I would be busying myself catching up with the things I didn't do on the 6 days that were given to me to take care of my children. And recently I was convicted that I really had to take time and really enjoy the presence of the Lord by resting on Sunday. For me, it's Sunday. And the last two Sundays, I did that. The first Sunday, I didn't even cook. My husband cooked, which I was thankful for, but not. And I hadn't intended on doing absolutely nothing. And the very next day, some things that have been heavy on my mind to do within my household, which was to organize my house. I only have one out of my 5 children home. Organizing my house was a top priority for quite a long time. It became crystal clear on how to start, where to start, and my day Monday flowed as if somebody was working alongside me. And we all know what that is. That's the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, encouraging us, and focusing us to what needs to be accomplished. And again, this past Sunday, I did the same thing yesterday, and this morning, the same thing happened. I was getting ready for a clean out in my room. I'm redoing my closet. And I've been looking for a gift my daughter had given me as a wedding present. It was a very nice pen, and I couldn't find it. And in my meditations, I found the box that it came in empty. And I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I left this open thinking, it will materialize. It'll somehow, I'll find it. And I said, how dismissive of me to think that that's all it takes. And I actually said, I'm really sorry that I would be, so comfortable to think that that's what it is. And, forgive me for being so blatant about my faith in everything. But what happened was right beneath that box was a closet I had to clean out, and I cleaned it out. And a bag of old pens and pencils tipped over. And in that bag of old pen and pencils was that very fine pen my daughter had given me 2.5 years ago.
Interesting.
I had no idea how it could have piled into that bag of very old pen and pencils that I used for, drawing and writing and whatnot, which has never been touched for a very long time.
Well, Nita, let me jump in here real fast so we can get to some other callers. But I think you make a great point on the need for rest. I think this cycle of 6 days and a day of rest, there's something important to it. From an Old Testament standpoint, it really foreshadowed the eternal rest that we can experience in Christ. You know, a lot of us work so hard and so diligently to try to get God to like us, to try to get God to accept us, to try to get God to love us. And when we recognize that God does love us and has demonstrated that to us in Christ, then we can take a rest from those types of works. And that's what God wants us to truly experience. And out of that flows this idea of contentment, this real sense of contentment. And out of that contentment comes some wisdom and some creativity that can help us just motor through life. And I think that's what you're experiencing, Nita. And we sure appreciate your comment on that today. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Hey, you too, Nina. Bye-bye. Let's go to Robert in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Nice to hear from you.
Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Indeed.
Just want to say a couple of things. I'm 57, so I've lived a little bit of life here, and I've had ups and downs. And, you know, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, we don't worry about dying. We're not concerned about it. We can live our life every day, not in fear, and He will help us live our lives. So it's a great burden off of us. I don't have to worry about the afterlife. And I know a lot of people that don't have this faith, I think they are very concerned about what's going to happen in the hereafter. You can ask a person, are you ready to die now? Are you really ready to meet God? Or what's going to happen in the next life? A lot of people, they're kind of shook up about it. But I don't have that because I have faith, and I hope I'm going to be saved. But I also want to say that I think contentment really is related to your expectations in life. And you get them as you're growing up, as you're a child and you're formed in your home, and as a young adult, you expect that of life. And, some people can be, which amazes me, is some people can be so broke, poor in material things, but they can be happy. I've seen that in my life around New York, relatively poor, so-called poor people materially, but they're happy. They're happy to smile and live their life all around the world.
That's exactly what Paul was writing to Timothy. He's saying, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Why? Because even in that state, we have Jesus. We have His love. We have His grace. We have His mercy. We've been declared by Him to be children of God. We have a future hope that is guaranteed because of the work of Christ. So those are the things that lead us to contentment in this world today. Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. To be discontent in life is to have hungers, to have thirst that haven't been met. But to be content is to realize that everything that we've been looking for is found in the person of Christ. He's the one that satisfies those soulish hungers. He's the one that satisfies and quenches those thirsts that we have. And when those have been quenched, when those needs have been met, then the result of that is contentment for us. That's good news. And out of that contentment flows wisdom in all other areas of life. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. If we're not content, that makes us vulnerable to the things of this world, because we go down this process. You know, we have expectations, and you said it very well, Robert, that expectations are significant as far as contentment in life is concerned. If our expectations aren't met, then we're not going to be content. And when those expectations are not met, we get fearful that they might never get met. We start getting angry about life in general, and then we get down into self-pity. Woe is me. And out of that woe is me mindset, we get vulnerable to the things of this world. We start looking to the things of this world and asking, well, I wonder if that might satisfy. I wonder if this might satisfy. And that's when temptation is strongest in our lives. And all of it comes from this discontentment. It starts right there, and that's attached to expectation. So, Robert, good insights on that, my friend.
Thank you, my brother.
You call anytime. We'd love to hear from you.
I will.
Okay, well, let's go to El Paso and talk to Ernie listening to us on KELP. Hi, Ernie.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Just doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you today.
Oh, likewise, brother. I've got a question on Ezekiel 18:20, where the Bible says, "Where but the soul that sinners shall surely die." I truly believe that when we do pass away, that there is going to be a conscious awareness after death due to the book of Lazarus, Luke 16, verse 19, and so on. Is this correct, or can you shed some light, please?
Well, Ernie, there is going to be a resurrection of the dead for all people. Some are going to be raised into eternal life. Others are going to be raised into judgment and eternal separation from God. And all of that is based on Jesus. What has a person done with Jesus Christ? Those who have believed Jesus, have received him, have been born of God, when they die, they immediately go into the presence of the Lord, and at a point in time in the future, their bodies will be raised, they will put on immortality, and they will live with God in his presence forever. Those who reject Jesus, those who deny that Jesus is the Son of God, those who deny that Jesus came that we might have life, those who have raised the fist to him and said, Lord, I don't want you, I don't need you, stay away from me, they're going to be raised into judgment. And that judgment is going to be severe, and it's going to be eternal separation from God. So that's how that's going to spell itself out in the end time. Jesus Christ is either going to baptize us, place us into life. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what takes place at new birth when we're saved. Or he's going to baptize somebody into judgment. That's going to happen to the lost at that final coming, that final judgment, that great white throne judgment.
Okay, so when we do pass away, absent from the body, present with the Lord, it's not an immediate thing where we're present with the Lord with a conscious awareness.
You're going to be immediately present with the Lord, and there's going to be a conscious awareness of that.
But don't think of it in terms. Yeah, don't think of it in terms of what you're living with now. This is an eternal thing. We go to Jesus. But don't imagine that, you know, your grandmother's up in heaven, wherever heaven is, walking around crying over every bad decision you ever made. And that's the way it's usually presented. Being with Christ is an incredibly blessed, but it's an eternal thing. We can't enter into that until we enter into our new bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, Ernie, have you come to know Christ personally?
Oh, yes, okay. many years. But this is a dispute that I'm having with a certain individual where they said that the soul that sinners has surely died. They're saying that immediately there's no consciousness until the resurrection.
Well, and they're using that for soul sleep, to say that the soul just goes to sleep, and then at one point at the resurrection, everything happens. I don't think that's what that verse teaches. It simply says the soul that sins will surely die. That's law. That's the consequence of sin. And that's what we've been set free from through new birth in Jesus Christ. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And as a result, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Well, Ernie, that's a great question, and sure appreciate your taking the time to ask it on today's broadcast. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you our monthly resource, Grace and Money. You hang on. Well, we do appreciate all those who called in and participated in today's broadcast. I do want to remind you of our wonderful resource that we have this month. It's a two-message CD series called Grace and Money. It deals with four aspects of grace and money that are found in the Word of God: worship, contentment, stewardship, and giving. And we're building the case for that as we go through each and every broadcast this particular month on Basic Gospel. But we want you to have this resource. It's available for a gift of any amount this month, the Basic Gospel. And we certainly need your help right now. A gift of $20, $50, $100 will make a significant difference as we try to power through these first months of the year, which are always the months were of the least amount of contributions. But the bills remain the same. The airtime still costs, you know, what the airtime costs. So we need to hear from you. We need to hear from you as quickly as possible. And our way of saying thanks is to send you this wonderful resource, Grace and Money. It also comes with a wonderful little booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. So take advantage of this. All the information is online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow at this same time.